blessed and honored yesterday to do a wonderful celebration of life service for beautiful Sophia. Yeah. And I found out later that that service, who the gospel was preached and it was live streamed all around the world, Australia, Israel, all around the world, Illinois, Chicago. And so we're blessed to see how God uses, when we don't even think he's using us, he uses us to be a fisher of men.
Yes.
And the gospel
yes.
went forth. We praise God that Sophia is just fell into the loving arms of Jesus. We do not need to be sad for those believers that have gone before us, because they wouldn't want to come back if they could. And she's having a wonderful time today. But we're going to have a wonderful time today looking at the Word of God, a closer walk with Jesus. Does anybody remember, maybe you have to be my age or older, remember that old song?
Yes.
Just a closer walk with thee. There you go. I knew somebody would know it. I didn't know the rest of it. Let it be. Some of you know what this verse is, but we're going to read it. John 15:5. Jesus said, I am the vine. So Jesus is the vine. And he said, you are the branches. He that abideth in me, here it is, two things. Abide in me and I in you. What does that mean? If you look at it, there's two things. Abide in me, that means us being in his word, reading his word, meditating his word, hearing his word. Don't you love when you can hear the word through good preachers, or hear a good CD, hearing the word, filling yourself up
yes,
with the word.
Yes,
so
yes,
he that abideth in me and the word, and I in him. So in turn, as we hear it, then it's important for us to profess it. It's not just hearing it. Jesus said, he that abideth in me and I in him. That means you can read and hear that by his stripes we are healed. But then we need to say with our lips and believe in our heart, by his stripes I am healed. Have you done that yet this morning when you got out of bed? You say, I am healed from the top of my head to the soles of my feet. No matter if you feel like it or not, just when you say that out of your mouth, you are letting his word abide in you. That's one thing. And then he said, interesting, the same, that is, the same when we do that, brings forth much fruit. Brings forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. And I began to, and I've been thinking about this for 23 years, and I've been pondering it, and I don't think I've ever really preached on it extensively, but you know what? Fruit is always grown in soil, is it not? And all of us are soil, basically. When you get down to it, if you take all the water out of us, all we are is just a clump of dirt. Not much. We're just dirt. All of us, different colors of dirt. You know, you can just really preach on that. All of us are all the same. We're just different colors of dirt. But his spirit and water that is in us, we're filled with that water. That's why it's important to drink water. But we are all planted. The word of God plants in us. So we can say this, that we are soil. Can we not?
Yes.
And you know, think of it this way. We have Israel is the prophetic, physical land of promise. Canaan was the physical promised land of Israel. Israel, it will always be, it stays. In fact, we are supporting Israel today, one with Israel. So we see Israel as a type of the church, but in the same token, we could say the church is spiritual Israel. We are born of the promise, because we are born of the seed of Abraham. That's where our name comes from, heirs of promise. And if Christ be in you, Christ in you, the hope of glory, Christ in us, we are your heirs and heirs according to the promise. And so we, look at it this way, just think of it this way. You are a promised land, so the seed of God's word is planted in you, and you bear much fruit. You bear much fruit. Jesus said, he that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. And we know, of course, the fruit, the spiritual fruit in Galatians, is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, self-control. So when we abide in him and his word abides us, we bear forth much fruit. So how do we have a closer walk with Jesus? How can we have a closer walk with him? I want to give you seven things. Seven things, not in order of importance at all, but I want to just have us reflect on seven things. Number one, to love him. It starts out with that. Love him. Yes. Love Jesus. Yes. To love Jesus. What does that mean, to love Jesus? Well, it says in Mark 12:30, Jesus said, "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind and with all thy strength." That is the first commandment. What does it mean to love him? It means to think about him, to always dwell upon him, to work for him. I'm working for him because I love him. And I've often looked at this, to love him with all of your strength. Think about that. All of you that are involved in ministry of helps, you're involved in loving him with your strength. You have to get out of your car. Some of you are bringing people to church. Some of you are driving to people's homes and picking them up. Some of you are bringing musical instruments and carrying them. They're not light. They're heavy. Some of you are setting up chairs. Some of you are tearing down the window dressings or cooking. That's using your strength, isn't it? Think about it that way. We love him with all of our being, with all of our strength. When you are working for the Lord, you're loving him. That's why I do this. That's why I'm doing what I'm doing, because I love him. That's why I'm doing it. Right. I didn't choose this as a career. I wanted him to be glorified, so I do this because I love him. So everything we should do should be out of our love for him. When we tear down the chairs and we bring in the tables, that's not just a simple thing that we don't think anything of. You're doing that because you love Jesus. Amen. You love him with all your strength. Ministry of Helps, I always say this, that's the most important ministry in the church. Ministry of Helps is the backbone. It's the grassroots of the church, because if you're not doing Ministry of Helps, we don't exist. We can't do anything. So you're in Ministry of Helps, everyone in here. So whenever you do anything with your strength, do it as unto the Lord. Think of it that way. You're doing everything unto him, and then you'll get rewarded from him. In 1 John 4:19, it says, "We love him because he first loved us." I love Jesus because he first loved me. When I was in that hospital room in 1979, and Jesus came in front of me and appeared to me, I was so broken, and I was so touched and so overcome by his love, because he loved me despite everything that I had done against him. All the things that I had done that were wrong, all the things that I did not to honor him, he still said, "I love you. Even though you did those things, I still forgive you. I love you." Boy, that broke me. That broke me down. You love me even though I did all that? You love me in spite of myself? You love me in spite of all my past and all the things that I grew up? You love me. It was his love that drew me to him. And it's still that way today. We love him because he first loved us. Number two, we need to seek him first. You know, there's a lot of teaching today. You have to be really careful about teaching that you hear, because everything that's out there, even though it has a fish insignia on it, even though they say, well, we're preaching, is not always a guarantee that it's the full truth. So you have to run everything through the filter of God's word. You have to run everything through the filter of the Spirit of God. And many times we hear preaching and teaching about, you know, just, it's all about getting things. It's all about, you know, getting a car or getting a house. And those things are great and everything. But if we fail to realize that it's not about getting things, it's about getting him. Seeking first him. And he knows what we need. All these things will be added unto us. That's the true way to put things in perspective. He's not against you having things. He's not against you being prosperous and all of everything. He wants you to, but to be very balanced is to seek him first.
Yes.
Seek his face, not his hand. We used to say this, you know, he's not a get-and-go God. He's not a 7-Eleven God. You don't go up to the window and say, "Yeah, I'll have a couple Snickers bars and a couple, you know, give me some Twizzlers. Thank you, Lord," and you boom on by. No. We need to love him and seek him with all of our heart. Seek him first. Matthew 6:33 says, "But seek ye first." Let's say that out loud. Seek ye first, number one, the kingdom of God and his righteousness and
all these things.
See, he's not against us having things as long us. He's not against you being a millionaire. He's not against you having just so much. And the key is, are you willing to give it away? Are you willing to have it so loosely that, oh yeah, Lord, you want me to give that to that person or give that to that person? I remember one time the Lord said, put a $100 bill in your pocket when you go to that meeting. And I said, well, why? You know, is there going to be a buffet? Just do it. So I put a $100 bill in my pocket, and I'm just, you know, boy, I'm going to be able to spend it on something for me today. And I saw somebody, the Lord said, give it to that person. And to myself, I said, get thee behind me, Satan. And you know what? It wasn't Satan. It wasn't a devil. The devil will never want you to bless somebody. Never wants you to make the life of somebody better. So I've learned this over the years. You have to obey quickly. Because if you wait, you will talk yourself out of it. And I started to go, oh, I could use that for gas. I could use that for a burger today. But I said, no. And so I walked over to that person. I gave it to him. And I was so blessed. I was so blessed that I obeyed. I don't know what happened after that, but I was blessed because I did what the Lord told me to do. So think about it that way. Just be quick to obey. When the Lord tells you to do something, be quick to obey before your understanding gets involved. Because sure enough, he'll talk you out of it. I looked up the word here. It says, but seek. The word seek in the Greek, it means zeteo. 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 And it means, you like this in here if you're one of our worshipers, it means to worship God. Literally, in Greek, it means to worship. It means to worship. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Worship the Lord first. Why is that so important? Because when you are worshiping the Lord, you're doing that in faith. You're doing that. He knows what you... Here's a real heavy Rebbe. He knows what you have need of. He knows everything about you. He knows what you have need of before you ask it. He knows what's in your thoughts before you even think it. He knows everything about you, everything that you need of. He wants us to worship Him and just worship Him. And then all these things shall be added unto you. All of a sudden, they'll just be right there. Wow, what a blessing. Wow, what a blessing. But always hold things very lightly. We're going to have, I've said this, we're going to have very prosperous people in this church, and we probably already do, that are prosperous. But He's not against that. But be willing to hold it very lightly. So the Lord will ask you to do something with it. See, He blesses us so we can be a blessing to someone. He blesses us so we can be a blessing to someone. Number three, delight in Him. Delight yourself in Him. Psalm 37:4 says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of your heart. Delight yourself in the Lord. Think about that word delight. You know, I've said this before, and I've got to stop saying this, that I like blueberries so much because I get blueberry pie, blueberry cake, blueberry crunch, blueberry candy, blueberry soda. It just comes over on me. And you know what? Yeah, overflow. And I don't want to take on the role of a pastor. Get that role of a pastor. You know, I'm trying to watch it. So, I mean, be temperate in what you give the pastor's family. Be temperate. Use self-control, right? Because you know, sometimes my wife says, no, we're not going to. We can't just gorge on this, right? But where was I coming from? I was talking about blueberries. Blueberries. So I delight myself sometimes in blueberries. If I think there's a blueberry pie in the refrigerator, I'm sitting there in my easy chair. I'm not looking at the TV. I'm thinking about that blueberry pie. I'm not thinking about anything. I'm thinking about that blueberry pie. And I can see myself wandering up to that refrigerator. Hey, come on now, honey. You're preaching my sermon. She hears my easy chair going to the sit position. And I go through. You're all laughing because you've been there. You know, I've already eaten that blueberry pie before I get there. But, oh, it's good. It's good. So delight yourself in the Lord, and He'll give you all the blueberry pie you want. No, delight yourself in the Lord. He'll give you the desires of your heart. All right, which one are we on now? You don't know. You got caught up in blueberry. Four. Five. Follow him, not just love him, but if we really love him, we're going to follow him. Think about all the disciples. Think about those that, look at John. He was so close to Jesus. He was with him at the Last Supper, always kneeling right there on him. See, in those days, they didn't have chairs. They just knelt on the floor, and their food was right there. And so they would often rest upon each other, and John would rest upon Jesus. He was right there. He loved Jesus. That's the one Jesus loved, John loved Jesus. And we have people in here that love Jesus. It's all about Jesus, by the way. In these last days, when people try to tell you, oh, the God of here, the God of there, this and that, oh, God. You know what? It's Jesus. Always go back to Jesus. Whenever you're talking to somebody and they want to go into New Age and crystals and this and that, always say, but what are you going to do about Jesus?
That's right.
What are you going to do with Jesus? You know, I've got the little Jesus in my office. Some of you have a little Jesus. And I've said before, we all need a little Jesus, right? And I was on Facebook one time, and maybe you saw this, and this is crazy. There was this theologian on Facebook. He said, I cannot believe these people are giving away little Jesuses. That's not theologically correct. And he just went into this diatribe of all these things about that's so childish and everything. And I thought, that's got to be the devil.
Yeah.
Who would take, doesn't the world need to be thinking about Jesus and not on devilish things and on the world? And I thought, my goodness, isn't that just like, you know, people that have a big head knowledge, but people need Jesus. If it brings their thoughts to Jesus, if it's a way that you can witness to somebody and they may say, what are you giving this for me for? You can say, well, this little Jesus is in my heart. And you can have Jesus in your heart too. So it can be a real good witnessing tool. Which follows this, Matthew 4:19, it says, Jesus saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you, what? Fishers of men. See, when you follow Jesus, he's going to make you fishers of men. And you know what that word fishers means? Some of you in here that love to, I know Wes loves to fish. Fishermen, it actually means, to be fishers, it means to be a fisherman. A fisherman. And think about a fisherman that goes out on a boat. All of you, raise your hand if you've fished before. You like to fish. Wow, everybody. So you know that if you want to catch a fish, you got to use the right bait. You don't try to catch, is it snook? You don't catch snook with a worm, with a nightcrawler, right?
Right.
Okay. What do you catch it with?
Shrimp.
White bait. He knows exactly, if he wants to catch a snook, he knows exactly how to catch that because he knows what they're going to snatch. See, we've got to be careful that God will show us the bait to share with people. It may not be somebody else's bait, but you all are individual fishermen, and the Spirit of God will show you what bait it is to catch souls. You know, I used to be under condemnation because somebody would tell me, how many notches are on your gospel gun today? How many notches you got in your gospel gun today? What? You better get pre-saved today. You know, I thought, man, that's not the love of God. I mean, he loves me, I love him, and as I love him, I'm going to follow him, and he's going to show me what bait I can use to catch men. I have people right now that I know that are in my life that are not Christians, but they're turned off by many Christians.
Right.
They're turned off by people, and I know that because
right.
They've told me that. So what am I doing? I'm showing the love of God.
That's right. Amen.
Sometimes people, you know, what you do speaks so loud they can't hear what you're saying. Think about that. But as you just do things, and they're gonna know, they're gonna go, what? Is he, you know, he doesn't swear when we're all in a gang of men. He doesn't use the Lord's name, he doesn't throw F-bombs all around. What's going on? You know, they see that. It's a witness. And then one day they're gonna say, what is it about you? Why are you different? So there's different things. So be sensitive to that. Don't get under condemnation about doing it some way that somebody else does it.
Amen.
Don't get under condemnation, because condemnation, we're going to look at that later. That's not of God. God doesn't condemn you. He doesn't condemn you. But as we find the right bait, as God shows us the right bait, also fishermen, and Wes, you may use this too, but you may use a throw net or a net. Right? The fishermen in the day of Jesus, they used nets. In fact, at night, they would come back to shore and they would mend their nets. Many times Jesus would find the disciples or fishermen on the beach mending their nets. Why? Because during the long night, after they were toiling and after they were, big fish sometimes would break nets. Right? And so there would be big, huge openings in their nets so the fish would go through. So they'd have to come back to shore and mend the nets. That means taking things that have been broken and mending them. See, God is concerned with mending you as much as he is with you catching fish. He's impressing this morning upon you for you to be whole, for you to be healed, for you to be filled with joy, and you're going to catch fish. Your net will be strong to catch fish. All right? Some nets are huge. Some nets, if you're going out into the Atlantic and you're trying to get, what's a big fish besides snook? Tarpon or sailfish, tarpon, huge, and big fish, you know. And you get them up to the boat, you better have some way to get them up on the boat. And a lot of times, big, you know, nets you throw out, if you're in the ocean, you're going to get big fish. Big, big fish, you know. And while I'm on it, a little side trail here. No, I'm not going to say that. Sharks get a bad rap. Sharks get a bad rap. And we are, you know, it's Shark Week. Oh, it's Shark Week. Don't get in the water. Oh, Shark. Oh, those mean sharks. Dun, 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 dun. And I often say this, you know, the number one way to prevent shark attacks? Don't get in the water! Hey, I got an idea. Let's swim out to the ocean at twilight. Let's swim out in the ocean right at feeding time and splash around. Sharks, you know, God created sharks, right? He loves sharks. But I don't know why I said all that, but that was just a joke. Maybe that. Anyway, what are we on now?
Five.
Share him. Say share him.
Share.
Matthew 5:16 says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works." See all how this is all coming, just all bleeding together? "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." I'm convinced that we don't even realize how God's using us. I'm convinced that we're not even aware of people that are watching us.
That's true.
I'm convinced that the things we think we're doing as a witnessing tool, they're not as effective as just people watching us. People are watching us. They're watching. Oh, you're a Christian. Okay, I'm just going to watch you. So just fall in love with Jesus, walk with him, and let your light shine. That word light there in the Greek, it actually means ray. It's the same word that the light that came off Moses, the rays of light when he saw Jesus. He came down off the mountain. Shall I say it?
Take off the shoes off thy feet, for the place thou standest is holy ground.
That was God, you know. So Moses, he came down off the mountain. My son loves that when I say it. He came down off the mountain shining with beams or horns of light, the glory of God, because he'd been in the presence of God. He was seeking him first. Went up into the mountain. You know, Moses looked up into the mountain and said, "Why is the mountain glowing?" And his wife, Sephora, what was her wife's name?
Sephora.
She said, "Oh, God's home." He said, "I'm going to go up there and look and see why this great light." And so he went up there, up into the mountain. Remember, his sandals were all torn and everything. When he came down off the mountain, he didn't have any sandals on because the glory of God and the word of God sustained him. Even on the sharp rocks and edges as he traversed down the mountain. Watch the movie. I'm telling you, watch it. It's true. He came down off the mountain, and his face was so bright. Of course, his hair was was gray. See? Gray. Gray hair? Gray? Gray hair? His faith, I mean, he was in the glory of God. He was in the Word. The Word was abiding in him. And God, while he was in his presence, God just poured his plan into Moses. And it was mind, and it was very being. So he knew exactly what he was supposed to do. Praise God. So we share him. Number six, there's two more. Number six, acknowledge him. This is really important. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, it says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. I want to give you something to chew on this week. If you look up the word paths in Hebrews, in Hebrew, the word paths means a well-trodden road. Well-trodden road. That means a road that people have taken. It's well-trodden, or a highway. You know, you go on a highway, you go on a road that's been well-trodden, there's been people that have gone on that road before you. Right? So I believe some insight into this verse. He's saying, trust the Lord, acknowledge him in all your ways, and he will direct you onto that good road that others have gone before you and been successful.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. There's people that have gone before us that have taken a road and they have been successful. I look at Kenneth E. Hagin. The road that that took him to the places he's been, and how people, they go to his meetings when he was on the earth, thousands of people, you know, but they forget all the years that he drove a car with bald tires, country church to country church, preaching that Jesus wants us to be blessed. Amen? He would go around teaching about the baptism of the Holy Spirit when it wasn't in vogue. It wasn't popular. They were berating him. But yet, he was on a path. He was on a path. And then everybody saw the wonderful things. But that wasn't the time that he was trusting. He was really trusting God on that path. And some of you are on that path. Take a path that others have gone before you that have been successful.
Amen.
And you can choose.
Yes.
Acknowledge him in all your ways, and he will direct your paths. I want to go on a path that ministers have gone on and been on and been successful. I want to take that path. And we're on that path. You know, don't despise small beginnings.
That's right.
Pastor Young E. Cho, he just passed away. Young E. Cho, he had millions of people in his church. He started out with just a few farmers in a tent preaching about believing, having faith. Mark 11:24. He believed for a bicycle. He took the word of God and he believed it. And he was sick. He had a very terrible disease and the Lord healed him. And he went on that path. He went on that path. And millions of people have been affected by his testimony.
That's right.
And by his book, The Fourth Dimension. It's a wonderful book. And so we have to realize that we go by him. Seven?
Yes.
We're at the last one. Be led by him. Now listen to me very carefully. There's a difference between conviction and condemnation. There's a big difference. And you need to realize this and get this down. There is conviction, which the Holy Spirit, thank God for conviction. Conviction is when we're doing something and he says, well, that's, you know, you better get off that track and do something else. I wouldn't, you know, it's very gentle. Thank God for conviction. I remember when I was young and I was just young and not very bright, and I'd be in a place where I shouldn't be, and I'd be in there and I'd just be shaking. I'd be shaking. And the Holy Spirit would say, get out, get out, get out, get out. And so I'd rush out. I didn't want to be in that position. Thank God for conviction. Thank God for conviction. But the difference is, condemnation is the same as accusation. The devil brings condemnation. Condemnation will always bring you down and put your head in the sand and just ride you and keep you down, down, and tell you you're no good. Condemn, condemn, condemn. That's not the Holy Spirit. You know what the devil will use a lot of times is condemning us of our past. What we've done 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 20 years ago. What you did 2 weeks ago, yesterday. Oh, you can't go to church today. Look what you did 2 days ago. Wow, if that was the case, I wouldn't be here today. We got to remember, the Holy Spirit brings loving conviction. His loving arms. Just, he's a good shepherd. He's a good shepherd. He loves us. He loves us. And this morning I wanted to just bring you to that place of loving Jesus and putting him first and foremost in our lives. When we talk to people, whatever we do, whatever we do, when you're doing ministry of helps, when you're helping tearing down chairs, do it as unto him. Love him with all your strength. And he will bless you. He'll give you more strength. Because we're not doing it as unto a man. We're doing it as unto Jesus. And when we do that, we have everything in perspective. And he will add to us. This church is, it's growing. It's going to continue to grow. And we're going to have a building of our own. Yes, we will. We will. We will. It's going to happen. But as we seek first the kingdom of God, it will just come. It'll happen.
Yeah.
It'll happen. I believe that. Somebody's going to come in here. We're going to meet somebody. You know what? I heard your church needs a building. I have one for you. It may be a little big. It's got a huge parking lot. It's got a place for a lot of classrooms. You may not want it, but I'm just going to, you know, for tax purposes, I'm going to give it to you for $1. And I'll say, okay, all right. We'll pray about it. Okay. But in his timing, it'll be time. It will be time. So think about it, pray, just take these scriptures home and study them, but always do everything as unto Jesus. It's all about him. Did you get anything today?
Amen.
Amen. That's all.